Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author, and I typically work with introverts, authors, and advocates, helping them to step up and share their message with confidence with those who need to hear it. And firstly, thank you to all those listeners. We've had some technical issues, and I really appreciate listeners for bearing with us, with your patience, and switching our show suddenly from one day to the next. And welcome to all the new listeners who've got a chance to listen to us now that we're on a little bit of a different day this time around. Numbers to check in if you've got a question for our guest today. North American listeners, call in on 646-716-7979. And those who are listening outside of North America, just follow that link you had, which was tobtr.com/922-4505. Follow the links to the chat and leave your questions in the chat room. Of course, you can also message me on Facebook and I will pass your message across to our guest speaker. And our guest speaker today is digital consultant and podcaster extraordinaire, Tanya Turner. Hi, Tanya. Welcome.
Hi, Trish. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely delighted. I'm going to be looking forward to speaking with you again very soon in getting more information. And Tanya's going to be then sharing with us her tips and her experience about everything digital and podcasting. Before we go to Tanya, I'm just going to share with you the frequently asked question for today. And today's question, someone asked me, is effective breathing an important part of public speaking? Now, that may sound like an interesting question, and it may sound like a self-evident question, because, of course, people, breathing is an important part of life, and if we don't breathe, we're not going to be living. But it's amazing how breathing can affect your public speaking journey. And one of the reasons that we have problem with breathing is when we get afraid and we're worried about getting up there and speaking, we often drop our chin and hunch our shoulders unconsciously because we're a bit worried about what's facing us. Now, the issue with that is when we do that, we can't get the breath that we need to be speaking clearly all the way through because we're hunching and our chin is dropped. So, yep, people out there, mama's right, shoulders back. Sit upright, stand upright, because you need a clear channel to get that full breath all the way through. And when you get that full breath all the way through with your speaking, then you're able to have the confidence to get those first few words out. And you're able to have the confidence to be able to speak clearly and not in that very breathless voice, which happens when we can't get the breath. The other thing to think about, if we're feeling nervous before we do something, and this is something that I do as well because I get just as nervous as everybody else out there, a couple of deep breaths just before I go on to speak or before I go to do something that I'm feeling a bit anxious about, two or three deep breaths in, holding them and then out, that's what I call centering. It centers me. It gives me a sense of calm and a sense of confidence. And that just helps me get up there and get those first few words out and shine like we need to do. So, yes, people, breathing is an important part of public speaking. It's something you have to be aware of so that you sound confident, your voice doesn't sound tinny, doesn't sound soft, and that you have all the air, all the oxygen you need to shine when you speak. I will be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show as usual. So if there's something you would like answered, just email me on info@trishel.com.au or send it to me as a PM on Facebook, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. I welcome your questions, and I look forward to sharing my answers with you in our next show. Now comes a really exciting part. I'm very much looking forward to speaking with our guest today. Our guest, Tanya Turner, is a digital consultant and podcaster. Now, Tanya is passionate about advocating for women who need confidence and a bit of hand-holding in this digital age. And don't we all, people? It can get very overwhelming. Tanya understands how scary it can be to learn something new. She gives people the confidence to start a podcast, build an online course, or even to learn to use PowerPoint. Tanya's based in Brisbane in Australia, and that's where she received her original qualifications for formal education. Now, Tanya's got a Diploma of Teaching, a Bachelor of Education, a Master of Education in Information Technology. She's a certified trainer and a Master Practitioner of Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So I think Tanya's got the information that we need. All her working life, she's been passionate about women in technology. And it was during this time of talking to some amazing businesswomen that Tanya found she was becoming an advocate for women who needed confidence and someone who understands, and someone who could understand how scary it can be to learn new technology. And that is a benefit, because it is scary and can be very scary. When Tanya began podcasting, it became a great passion just to talk to people and learn from them. And more than anything, Tanya loves helping women begin their own podcast. That would be her number one passion at the moment. And one of her biggest achievements came when she received the prestigious Queensland Outstanding Teacher Excellence Award for ICTs in Education. Wow, Tanya, you have knowledge to share with us today. Welcome, Tanya.
Thanks so much for having me, Trish. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you.
Hey, I think probably the first question I want to ask you, and probably one that most people do, is what are some of the problems that you've come across? You know, when you're speaking to the women that you advocate for, what are some of the problems that you've seen that we have with digital technology today?
In terms of themselves, Trish, a lot of them, as you said originally, they lack the confidence to just start. And that is probably one of the biggest barriers in technology. It's not so much, oh, I don't know how to use this tool, or I don't know how to start a podcast. You can learn skills very easily, but having the confidence to actually go out and begin something new can be very scary for a lot of people.
Okay. So what sort of things would you suggest to help people get that confidence?
One of the things I do, Trish, is I actually take the approach with my clients of holding their hand every step of the way. Now, you don't necessarily need a coach to help you, or somebody who is a teacher or trainer. It could be just someone in your own family. You could have a teenager there who can sit down and explain hashtags in Instagram to you, or show you how to build your very first Facebook page. There are people around you who would love to support you, and it's the people that you trust. So find someone that you trust, somebody who does have some knowledge of what you're trying to achieve, and just feel safe and comfortable in knowing that they are going to be with you and going to be there to hold your hand every step of the way.
Okay. So what if I don't have a teenage or a young child to help me? What else can I do?
Okay, well, you can always employ somebody, a teacher or an educator, who can come and help you. For instance, I recently had a lady approach me. Now, she is a cosmetic tattooist, and she had been involved with a group that was teaching them how to use Facebook ads. And so she was on this journey very much on her own and learning how to do Facebook ads, thinking that that was the way for her and her business. And it is for a lot of businesses. Facebook's very popular. However, because of her industry, she came to me and she said, Tan, what can I do? And I said, well, if Facebook isn't working for you at this point in time for this particular service, why don't we look at something else? So we sat down and mapped out a plan for her to go and to actually physically visit cosmetic surgeons and get referrals that way. And so we put together a PowerPoint presentation, something which for some people that may be very, very simple, given that PowerPoint's been around for a long time. And we worked on how she was going to present herself, what sort of technologies she could use. We went and did a lot of in the graphics area so that we can show before and after photos. So we worked one-on-one together for quite a while, and it was only just last night she sent me a message. She was over the moon and she just said, I have been fully booked this week because of the referral process. And, you know, sometimes you can think that one way is the way to go and sit there and learn a particular technology or a particular skill. And sometimes it just takes having a conversation with a teacher or a coach or somebody in a support group online or offline to take you down the correct path that you need to be on. So it was a great feeling to have someone who had so little confidence in the beginning to be able to stand up and go, hey, I've achieved this, I've done this.
That's marvelous. Isn't it a wonderful feeling, Tanya, when as a mentor or coach that you can give somebody that and then you get those responses back? It really just makes it all, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Trish. And, you know, there was a question a little while ago where someone said, what motivates you to keep going? And I said, do you know, my biggest motivation when I work with people is watching their faces light up when they have an aha moment and they overcome, whether it be confidence or lack of skill, lack of knowledge or whatever it is, you can just see in their faces or hear the excitement in their voice, or you can just tell through an email that they are just over the moon about having achieved something. And that's what motivates me. And it was just, oh, wow, I was just on top of the world for her because I knew how scared she was in the beginning, how she didn't want to do any of this. But she went and she did it, and now she's just reaping the rewards. It's great.
It's brilliant. And there are so many people out there who are probably in the same starting position as your client was, trialing something and getting frustrated because it's not working when it could be not the area they need. Let's just have a look at that. We talk about digital technology, this IT world, this women in technology. What is it that we're talking about? What does all that big term include?
When we're talking about digital technology, and I've been involved with women in technology for probably over the last nearly 20 years. And because it's because there are a lot of women that I support in business in particular, I guess we have that women in technology and the old age thought patterns of digital technologies or computers are for geeks, computers are for nerds, or computers are for men. And even today, just yesterday I was reading some statistics from the WIT group, Women in Technology group, which is worldwide. And we are still way down, apart from Apple and another company that escapes me at the moment. Women in technology, women who have careers in technology is even below, I think Apple is employing 21% of women. So we are way, way, way down. it's that. So my position over the last 20 years has been to encourage women to actually embrace technology, and whether it be taking that step forward and starting their own podcast, or whether it be picking up a phone and going, you know, my mother-in-law, you know, she's in her 70s and she's just got a smartphone. And so to show her, this is how you take a photo, this is how you actually can text me, this is what else you can do with that. That is at a for her, that's one step forward. So the digital age is anything really to do with computers or technology.
Yeah, and when we talk technology now, it's sort of, as you've just said, it's grown so much from just computers and coding and all that. Mm. I mean, our technology, and I guess you could even take it to, as we've got our smartphones, which are pretty well nearly mini computers now, and that could also include sort of operating your TV in some respect, and some of the normal everyday items that we have around our room, our house, can be very high tech.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these days, you know, you walk in the supermarket and you can walk past the fridges and the lights will turn on just because of the sensors. Our cars, you know, GPS and you know, the technology even in the cars in parking a car. I don't know if I can do the one where you leave your hands off the wheel and let the car reverse park itself. Even I have the confidence to do that yet. I haven't tried it. But you're right, Trish. Technology is so embedded in our society that it can actually it can have a lot of positive things. There are a lot of positive thoughts around technology and the good that we can use it for. And one of the things, Trish, that I absolutely love in terms of our technology is, for me, 10 years ago, if I was going to help coach someone or mentor someone in how to use technology, it probably would have been face-to-face or via email. Whereas these days,
oh, I think we've got some lovely technology. Isn't it lovely that we're talking about technology? And look what we've just had. I think we may have lost Tanya a little bit. She's gone offline, or I can't hear her. If you can hear me, Tanya, you need to be looking at your connections. Well, while we're waiting for Tanya to just have a look, see if we can get her back, we'll just go on with talking about what Tanya was starting to talk about, was the amount of technology that we have around the world at the moment and that we have problems with in being able to use. Now, Tanya was talking about those cars that park themselves. I have a friend who's got a car that does that, and amazingly, she's confident enough to let the car park themselves. I have to agree with Tanya. I'm not too sure that I would want to be able to have the confidence to let the car park itself either. However, this is what we're talking about, confidence in technology. And as technology expands, we're going to have to find the more confidence that we've got. Now, our younger people are growing up with that. They've got that confidence and they can get themselves going and are living with it and breathing with it. But the baby boomers and the people that are sort of coming now, we've had to struggle sometimes to get that confidence. And funnily enough, women do have some issues with that because we're not too sure about how to do that. And I'm going to see if I can get Tanya to come back on again. I might just have a little issue here with her. We might just have to see if we can hang her up and get her back on. I seem to have lost her completely. We'll see if I can get her back. While waiting for Tanya to get back, I might just go straight on to and give you my quote for the day, and then we'll see if we can get Tanya back, because we were having a great conversation there about technology. And we'll see if we can get her to come back and get back on again. Now, my quote that I was going to talk to you about is all about technology as well. And it was about from Libby Larson, and the quote was, "The great myth of our time is that technology is communication." And this is something that I'm very passionate about, because communication is one of my passions. And when we get onto that, I think we might have her back. And because of that, people think that communication is one of the things that technology solves. In some cases, and we might talk to Tanya about that in a minute, technology can actually get in the way of communication. Hi, Tanya, have we got you back? No, nope, I cannot hear her. I think we have absolutely lost her again. We seem to be having big technology issues. And I think that is so funny, because we're talking about technology and we're just having big issues. We had the issue when we couldn't get on at our normal time. And we had the issue now when we seem to have lost poor Tanya out into the technology world. So we'll see if we can get it back again and go on. Like I was saying, the thing with that quote of mine, the myth of times is that technology is communication, is that we think because we've got great technology, and I'm talking about technology with our phones, technology being able to do Skype calls, video calls, that that's communication. Really, people, and this is where I'm passionate about, the communication comes back to the person. I think technology is a great tool to be able to allow us to communicate better. But it's not the tool that makes that is equal to communication. We can still be bad communicators even if we've got the words technology. And sometimes, and you can look at the people texting all the time, we've got this awful, you know, this big debate out there. Are we really communicating effectively when we send everything by text, when we shorten some of the words that we use down in our text? Are we communicating effectively? I'm not sure. It'd be an interesting question to debate. And we'll see if we've got Tanya back now. Hi, Tanya.
Hi,
can
Trish.
You hear me? Hello.
Yes.
How about that? How are you, sweetie?
Great. Don't you love technology?
Yeah, I was just doing a really 5-6 minute talk about how technology, so one of my best quotes is, "The great myth of our times is that technology is communication." So it's a really brilliant example that technology isn't always the best for communication. And I was talking about the texting that we do on our phones. Is that good communication, even though it's great technology? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's really funny, isn't it, Trish, because for once we lost communication here and I had to get back on, straight away it was, okay, how else do I contact Trish and let her know that, you know, where are you, what do I do, how does all this work to get back together? And so it was actually through a Facebook message that we were able to communicate behind the scenes, and you gave me instructions on how we could reconnect. Now, in terms of texting, like with any technology, I believe it can be a good and a not so good thing. And obviously, one of the things is with texting, you can get a text that you know you need to reply to, but you're in the middle of something. So you send a very short response of, no, won't work at the moment. And so somebody reading that can perceive that message in so many different ways. And the number of times I've talked to people and they go, oh, look at this message that someone just sent me. What's their problem? And I say, you don't know what's happening at the other end. Whereas when you're actually talking to someone, whether it be by Skype or face-to-face or over the phone, at least you can judge the tone, you can clarify if there's an issue or you feel something's not quite right, you can say, is everything okay? And yeah, so like anything in technology, there are always its good points and not so good points.
Yep, and we've been really demonstrating both sides of that today. So I think this is a brilliant show. We've been giving people an exact demonstration of the good parts of technology and the parts that don't always work so well. Okay.
That's right.
You've worked in various countries, and I've noticed that you've worked in Australia, England, the Middle East, as a teacher, consultant, tutor, and educator. How's that been? What's been your most interesting moments from travelling the world and working with technology?
I would have to say that when working in the Middle East, it was really interesting to see how far advanced a lot of the women were in using technology and how they actually embraced it better than some other people in the Western world. I actually used to sit and have conversations with them and say, tell me, you've gone and because I worked with a lot of teachers and they used a lot of PowerPoints and I said to them at the time, so tell me, did you find it easy to use PowerPoint? And they said, oh, yes, because we love art and we love drawing and they loved making things and being really creative. To have another technology around them was easy for them just to pick it up and run with it. And they never seem to have that that fear of, oh, I don't know if I can try this. I don't know if I can do this. And I couldn't tell you exactly why, because every single situation is different. But I would definitely say that a lot of the women in the Middle East, and whether it is because they like to communicate, and so this is how they do it. They just go in and, you know, they would go and buy a phone and be able to start using it. They would just figure it out for themselves, or they didn't seem to have a fear of asking someone for help. And Trish, you know, that's probably one of my main points, that a lot of women can sometimes feel intimidated by technology and they have this fear of actually asking for help. It's where do you go? What do you do? If you are feeling intimidated and you're not sure how to use something, where do you go? What do you do? And something I have noticed in Asia and the Middle East is that they do have a lot of women who congregate together, very much supporting each other. And I think that comes back to our very first initial conversation, which was about the support factor. And especially when you're using technology, you need someone to support you.
So are there places around here where we've got groups for women for supporting, you know, say, for example, what sort of groups would you suggest?
Okay, well, you have your meetup groups. So if you went and typed in digital technology and looked up meetup groups, are still very popular and always growing. And not only are they great for social get-togethers, they're also great for professional business women who might get together and they might get together and go to a breakfast or a lunch and listen to a speaker. I go to quite a lot of those breakfasts and find them very valuable. And there are a lot of, we used to have, and you would remember this, Trish, we used to have forums, a lot of online forums which were attached to an actual website. Remember that? And
yeah.
And these days they seem to be overtaken Facebook groups. And there are probably thousands of groups. There are public ones and private groups and secret groups that people can join. So it's a matter of searching and finding out. I think you need to come back to something that is all about why. What's your purpose? Why do you want to learn a new technology? Why do you want to join a meetup group? Why do you want to, go and start a blog? Or why do you build an online business? What's your actual purpose behind that? And if you can answer that, that will make your road to finding what you need very clear.
I can't agree more. It's one of the things I talk about with my mentoring clients when we first start is why are you doing it? Why do you want to speak? What is it that you want to say in this particular presentation? And it's one of the things that learning to speak can help you with, because it carries over into what you're saying. You look at your business, you look at thing. I think anything in your world is, if you can decide on that why, it really gives you a good foundation to be able to build on it. We might just hold it there for a few minutes. So I just come back to you, Tanya. Don't go away. And I'll just touch base with our listeners. Thank you for listening. We've been listening and speaking with Tanya Turner, a digital technology consultant and podcaster extraordinaire. If you have questions, don't forget, if you're in North America, you can call in on 646-716-7979. And if you're outside North America, just follow that link that you logged in with, which was tobtr.com/922-4505. Follow that and put your questions in the chat room. And of course, as always, you can PM me on Facebook and I will pass your questions on. We've been discussing digital technology, most specifically women in technology, and Tanya has been sharing with us some of the ways that she's been able to help women to be able to get that confidence to use the technology, how to identify different technologies. She shared one of her cases with us of her client, who's been a really great success, which identified that not or digital technology may be the best for you. And that's probably one of the things you have to decide, as we just finished up before we went to that break, was that we needed to know why we wanted to do it, because that could determine which digital technology that we would be using or which Facebook groups that we'd be going to get the answers. Welcome back, Tanya. I wanted to just have a talk to you a little bit now about podcasting, because you are very passionate about that, and that's digital technology that is, well, not new, it's been around for a bit, but it's growing in trending, and it's probably one that does put a bit of a shiver of fear through a lot of people who may be wanting to listening to podcasts and thinking, oh, I'd love to do it, but oh my gosh, I can't. So Tanya, how did you get into podcasting?
Thanks for podcasting. It is absolutely one of my passions, just to talk to people and learn from them. I actually got into podcasting quite by accident. I have been listening to podcasts probably for about 8 or 9 years now, and of course you can be anywhere. You can be going to the gym, you can be walking, you can be driving your car, and because it is basically radio on demand. And I went to a conference with Ron Levas called We Are Podcast in October last year, and I had met a woman online who is now my co-host of Aussie Bloggers Podcast, and her name's Amanda Hoffman. I had met her and we had talked online and been in a couple of the Facebook groups that we'd spoken about earlier. And we'd had a little bit of a connection because we both were interested in blogging and social media and all things technical. And I had agreed to meet her on the Monday because I was going to talk to her about collaborating together and do a book together around blogging. And when I went to the podcast conference, I came away and I just went, wow, I love the idea of podcasting. I would love to do something like that. So when I met with Amanda, I said, oh, hey, Amanda, I said, look, I know we've only just physically met today for the first time, but I know we live 10 minutes from each other. How would you feel about starting a podcast? And she said, oh, Tan, I don't know anything about podcasting. And I said, Amanda, I said, I don't either. I said, but hey, how hard can it be? And so that was, I think we met sometime in October, November last year, and we had 6 weeks to get a podcast, our first podcast, up and running. And so we had a very steep learning curve, which we overcame. And Trish, you were actually one of our very, I think you might have even have been our first guest on our Aussie Bloggers podcast. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember. Not sure I was your first. I might have been your second. Well, it could have been your first.
Your second one.
Anyway,
yeah, you were our first or second.
Very early.
Yes, very early. And we had a lot of technical issues, just little technical things that we didn't know about, just even things like the echo of a room and ways you can minimize echoing in a room. So, for instance, you need to have a soft area around you. So when you're speaking, make sure if you could have, obviously acoustic tiles would be best, but even something like a sweater or, you know, jumper just sitting there in front of you, a carpet tile, something like that to sort of absorb the sound so that you don't get that big echo that we have in our very first four episodes. Yeah, we learned as we went, and everything is a trial process, and we are still learning, which is great. And this is where I talk so much. I know I talk so much about supporting, having a supporting person around you, but I believe the reason Amanda and I work so well together with our podcast is that we do completely support each other, and we also we work to our strengths. So when you're working in a digital world, there is so much out there. You can't possibly know everything. So when you're working with somebody else, it's always great if the other person does what they love and know, and you do the same. And that's how it works with Amanda and I. So when we co-host together, she does the beginning. She finds all the guest speakers. We go and we podcast and do our interviews together, and we do about four or five in one day, and then I do the technical stuff afterwards, and that works really well. So yeah, podcasting is a passion,
and it can be addictive as well, not only for listening, but you start doing podcasting and you want to get more, or even the three ways it's addictive: listening to it, doing it, and looking for places where you can be a guest on it. So it can be very well. I just sort of thought there, would you like to share the difference between podcasting and live radio? Just for those who may not be quite aware what it is.
Yeah, sure. Look, when you have a podcast, I guess the beauty of podcasting is it's you're pre-recording everything. So if somebody is... if we have an interview, like for instance, Trish, in today's live radio session and our connection was lost for whatever reason, and your live listeners knew that because you then had to think very quickly on your feet, which you're good at doing anyway, so that was not a problem, and you had to fill in time, and in at the same time in the background we're frantically trying to get me back on track to get back on the show. Now, in a podcast, because everything's pre-recorded and it's not live, then we can edit. We could have edited that part out. Nobody would know any different. And that happens a lot. You know, we have issues with technology and things go wrong, or you get a guest who starts going off on a different tangent than you originally started with. And we're very fortunate. We have a great screening process. Amanda does very well in screening our guests. And when they come on, they are always, it's always to do with blogging. So we always have our tips ready. But if we did have a guest who decided that they were going to go in and say something negative or something biased towards, I don't know, a religion or something, you know, we would be able to edit that out. So with your podcasting, back to your original question, the difference is very much that radio is live. So just as you have your Facebook live streaming, and podcasting is pre-recorded, but it can be listened to again and again and again. Whereas with live radio, unless somebody is actually physically recording something that's being said or done on the radio, then you can't listen to it again. Does that make sense?
And yep, thank you. And I know that sort of sounded like a simple question, but I do know that sometimes people get quite confused between the two. And what, you know, to take it a bit further, what we're doing now is Blog Talk Radio, which is live radio, but it's also being recorded. So we do have the replay for you to be able to listen to time and again. And then, of course, you've got those people who go to a live radio station on air, like the commercial ones or the community ones, and those ones are a little bit harder to record. So you've got three different ways there. Some lessons you may have learnt in over the time, either in technology or with podcasting, any lessons or insights you'd like to share?
Oh, look, where do I start, Trish? I think that's where I should be writing a book called Lessons I've Learned in Technology. There are so many. The first lesson, I think, the biggest lesson I've learned is that just do it. You just have to do it. Whether you are writing a blog and you are so fearful of hitting that submit button because you're not sure who is going to read this, what are they going to think of me, are they going to like it, what if nobody reads this? You know, all these things go through your head and you're thinking, oh, should I put the blog out there? And you check it and check it and check it again for all these mistakes that just aren't there until you either don't hit the submit button or when you finally do, it is just the biggest relief. So you just need to, like Amanda and I, we knew nothing about podcasting. Seriously, we have learnt so much. But the whole thing is that we were doing it together and we just started it. And we decided we were going to learn along the way. And you could probably ask a lot of podcasters that, you know, if you said to them, you know, would you have started a podcast when you, you know, if you knew what you had to be going through, they probably would still say yes. But when you ask them about, you know, tell me about your very first podcast, you can just actually see them cringing because it's like, ugh. So yes, just get started on something, whether it's something new, just you need to take that deep breath, sit up straight like you were talking about originally, Trish, and start. One of the other things, and this could be very pertinent to a lot of your listeners, one of the biggest things I've learnt over the years, especially now that so many people have a voice in technology through Facebook, blogs and podcasting, you pretty much can get online and it seems to be that you can say whatever you want to whoever you want and you can get your message out there. And I have two takes on that. One, having been the victim of cyberbullying in the past, it can crush you. That could absolutely totally crush you. And we've all heard the really terrible stories of people who it has crushed. So if you are a victim of cyberbullying, you need to do what is right for you. And if that's taking a step back for a few days, go and do so. Get yourself offline and get yourself into a place of strength where you feel comfortable. Then get back online because today's newspaper story or today's online story is going to be next week's fish and chips. But people will forget it because there will be another drama going on next week, next month, next year. So, and talk to someone about it, which is so important. On the other side, if you are reading something online where somebody is being bullied or having things said about them, think very carefully before you respond because your response is actually going out to the world as well. So if you don't know both sides of the story and you buy into one side, it is out there forever. You know, your reputation, especially if you're a professional person, you have to be very careful what you put out there. So they're my takes on something that I feel strongly about, having dealt with a lot of women who have been in a case where they are actually being bullied online, and both ends, where they just don't know what to do, and other women who have bought into something that they shouldn't have. And you know what, Trish, I think now I will have to get back to you with this, but Facebook have or are putting out some anti-bullying emoticons. Have you heard about that?
I have seen something, but I haven't gone and looked into it that much. But yeah, I like that they've started to put out some more emoticons for people, the new ones that they put out for reacting, which helps you to react a little bit closer to what you'd be thinking on. But the anti-bullying one wouldn't be good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and reporting bullying. So, you know, it's always good to, if you see or hear something like that. And I know this isn't the way we're going to go down, but it is a big thing, and it is big for women who are in using technology, and they need to feel safe themselves in being able to say what they want to say without it being taken out of context. So that's something that I also have been doing a lot with women lately, just on the side, just helping them get over or putting things into perspective if they are bullied online or have, you know, had said something negative about them and it being posted.
And I think that's a very important point to make. The cyberbullying, it comes out of the quote that I was saying that about technology being the myth that technology is communication. It's the downside of communication. We don't get all the non-verbals that we get when we're talking face-to-face. So when people put things out and make a comment, you're very, very right, but you really should be thinking before you respond. There's a knee-jerk response sometimes to things that are said, and sometimes the way things come out on those posts and Facebook and that post, because it's just plain writing, it can sound very abrupt. It can sound different to what people actually meant. So we get this, and I think that your comments on cyberbullying are very, very pertinent. It is one of the things about women having confidence in technology and being safe out there.
Absolutely.
Any other viewpoints on how you can be safe for women in getting their conversation and voice out there?
Yeah, look, there are so many ways to get your voice out there in a safe way. And one of them is you could start a blog on something that you're passionate about, something that you really love. For those of you who do listen to Aussie Bloggers podcast, you will know that my personal blog is Write Your Cancer. And that came about from my husband having cancer 5 weeks after we got married. And to have an actual outlet, somewhere where you can put yourself out there and put your opinion out there or put your message out there, for me, whether anyone reads that blog or not doesn't mean anything to me so much unless it's going to help them. So, look, go and find somebody. There are plenty of you just have to Google how to build a blog and you will find a way to start your website, start your blog and get your readers and your followers and people who would love to be with you. So that's a really nice way to get your message out there. Obviously, if you're in business, make sure that you're on social media and places like Twitter and having a Facebook page. You have the way you can respond and let people see what sort of person you are just through social media is really nice too.
There is so much that we could be doing. We could be talking about all of those other areas, but we probably would run out of time. I have another question for you. Who has made a difference in your life? Who's inspired you?
Who's inspired me? Oh, gosh, you know, personally, I would have to say my mother. And the reason was because she, at the age of, I think she was about 64 or 62. She started a business, a gluten-free business, just before gluten-free became well-known. And she has always been a forerunner of things. She was the first person that I knew in sort of her age group that would have a smartphone. She was the first person to, you know, get on and ring up her, you know, granddaughter and say, teach me over the phone how to do a PowerPoint, you know. And this is way, way, way back. I'm talking years and years ago. She is one of these women who embraced technology for what it was and in a positive sense. So, yeah, hats off to her personally. Professionally, I have a lot of people who have inspired me professionally. Oh, if I had to pick one, who would I pick? Look, I would say my co-host, Amanda Hoffman from Aussie Bloggers Podcast. And the reason I do is because Amanda is so giving. She is inspirational. In a world of technology where you have to keep up with everything, there's also this element and sometimes there can even be this thought that, oh, no, I won't let anyone know about this because I'll keep it for myself. Amanda is so not like that. She is, you know, she'll find out something about social media, so she'll share it. She is such a sharing person, and I absolutely love that, and it inspires me to be more like that and to be a better person and to help others, because I guess that comes back to my passion of wanting to help people. So if I can help somebody, just one or two people, by giving them some information that will change their life in some way, just as Amanda does, yeah, that's really inspirational.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing. And it makes sense because the two of you obviously work very well together on your Aussie Blogger podcast. My final question, where I ask all of my guests, is what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
What makes a great speaker and why? Okay. Somebody who can engage others, and I would say somebody who has a story that they can share and you can actually get something from. So, and if I could just give you one really quick example, just recently, I don't know if you know the story of Scott Dinsmore from Live Your Legend, but he was killed quite tragically, probably about maybe a year or so ago, or not quite a year. And his wife, Chelsea, she now has had to step up and speak on behalf of Live Your Legend, which was Scott's dream. Well, it was both their dreams, but it was, you know, Scott started it. And so I was watching a talk from Chelsea the other day, and she went through and she spoke, and she just had me engaged totally. And because she was actually engaging the audience. So there's my point number one. A good speaker will engage their audience. And right at the end, she actually said, a lot of you know I'm from The Legend. You don't know probably why I'm doing what I do. And she talked about Scott, you know, tragic, or him, you know, moving on from this world, no better word, and the way she spoke and said why she was carrying on his legacy, really just, it brought a tear to my eye. But can you imagine if you were actually, because I was watching this on YouTube, and could you imagine if you were actually in the audience? And could you just feel that emotion that must have been there, hearing the story? So, number one, if you can engage your audience, and number two, just bring out an emotion in them, whether it be surprise or inspiration or, you know, wonderment or whatever you can bring out, if you can change a person to make them walk away and go, hey, I can do this, or wow, that really touched me, or I've learned something from this, then I think you've done a great job as a speaker.
Thanks for sharing, Tanya. And that brings us pretty close to having to finish up for today. Just finally, Tanya, where can people find you if they wish to know more about confidence and technology or about your Aussie Bloggers podcast?
Yeah, they can go to my website. I've got a personal website, which is www.tanyaturner, which is TanjaTurner.com. Or you can go and check out Amanda's and my podcast, Aussie Bloggers Podcast, on iTunes or Stitcher or Buzzsprout.
Absolutely. And I recommend to people to go and listen to that podcast. There's some brilliant people on there. In fact, I'm on there, but that's okay. Thank you, Tanya, for being with us today. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. There is so much more we could probably go down. We could probably look at cyberbullying even more in depth, look at podcasting in depth. But I think thank you very much for sharing all of your information and your stories today about digital technology, women are having confidence in that, about your podcasting, and especially thank you for sharing your beginnings in podcasting. We did have Ronsley Vaz on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he was sharing all his information about podcasting, but I thought it was brilliant for you to share what you and Amanda have done, because you started not knowing anything, and it's just been very recent. So I think that's an inspiration to our listeners that you can get up and do it. So thanks very much for being with us, and we'll catch you again later.
Thanks for having me, Trish.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening today with Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. Thank you for your patience with switching our show to the next day. And thank you for your patience with our technology issues. My last little quote for you, and this is by Edward Morrow. The newest computer can merely compound at speed the oldest problem in the relations between human beings. And in the end, the communicator will be confronted with the old problem of what to say and how to say it. So for all our technology, for everything that we can, it still comes back down to people speaking to people and knowing what they want to say and how to say it. I'm Trish Springsteen. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. If you need to contact me, info@trishell.com.au. Go to my website, trishspringsteen.com. Book a discovery session for me. Have a great day, everyone, and thank you for listening to Step Up, Speak Out with Trish and with Tanya Turner, our guest today.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.